Now, if cooking gherkins with mains electricity isn't exactly your idea of a good meal, then there are plenty of other science festival activities all about the science of food. Mira went along to find out more.
Yes, I'm here in the biology zone at the Cambridge Science Festival, and there seems to be an emphasis this year on eating healthily and the importance of a healthy diet to have a healthy body. And with me is Gail Goldberg from the Human Nutrition Research Unit at the Medical Research Council. Now, Gail, your stand here is looking at the importance of a healthy diet, particularly for healthy bones. So firstly, which components of the diet are important for having healthy bones?
Okay, well, a number of components are important. The ones that are particularly important are calcium and vitamin D. 99% of the mineral in our skeleton is calcium. We're born with about 25 grams as a newborn baby. When we finish growing as an adult, we have over a kilo of bone mineral in our skeletons. Vitamin D is important because that's a key to helping calcium form healthy bones. Firstly, by making sure that we take up enough from our stomachs, and it also plays a role in helping to make sure that mineral goes into bone and stays there. We do get some vitamin D from a few foods, but most of the vitamin D that we have in our bodies comes because of the action of sunlight on our skin, which means we make the vitamin D that we need.
But what about calcium?
Particularly in countries like the UK, we get most of our calcium from dairy products, from milk, yogurts and cheese and so on. That's because traditionally we eat a lot of those foods, and the calcium that's in them is very easily absorbed by our bodies.
And so what are the health effects if we don't have enough calcium and vitamin D?
Well, a number of consequences. In children and young people, they might not grow as much as they should. Calcium is important in adulthood to make sure we've still got healthy functioning bones. In pregnant and breastfeeding women, because the developing baby gets its calcium from the mother. And in old age, calcium stays important, and one of the particular health consequences in old age is osteoporosis.
Now, another one of your stands over there seems to have an exercise bike that children are riding, so I think I'm just going to head over in that direction.
And exercise is important for bones as well.
What you want to do, estimate how much energy it takes to pump the water from the bottom of the tube.
I'm in a section that is looking into energy and where it comes from, i.e. the fact that it comes from our food. So I'm here with Martin King. What's going on in this section?
Basically, we're demonstrating here how much energy we burn off in everyday tasks, for example, cycling.
And so in order to show this, you seem to have an exercise bike with a tall tube in front of it. What's going on here?
Basically, the idea is, as you bike, water is pumped from the bottom of a tube up to the top of the tube. We're getting the participants to estimate how much energy in the form of more teasers it takes to pump the water to the top of the tube. Estimates have varied from 10 to 500.
And what is the answer?
The answer, in fact, is actually one.
Only one more teaser?
That's right, only one more teaser, and this is shocking to most people.
Now, I've just seen a child on this bike, actually, cycling for quite a while.
The average time it takes is about 2 to 5 minutes, depending on the child. Another interesting fact is that you have to pump the water up the tube 50 times to burn off the energy found in a typical pizza.
So you say the children have been cycling for about 2 to 5 minutes. So say the average was about 3 minutes,
yes.
And they have to do that 50 times. That's 150 minutes. That's over 2 hours of exercise on this bike just to burn off a pizza.
Yes, this is neglecting the fact that we all have what we call a basal metabolic rate, basically the energy that you use without doing any work. So this doesn't take into account that.
So I've learned the importance of eating healthily for the strength of our bones, as well as just how much exercise we need to do to burn off something as small as one Malteser. So now I'm off to learn how to actually make healthy meals at the Sizzling Science Lecture. So I'm now here with Dr. Susan Jebb from the Medical Research Council, who's been leading today's Sizzling Science Talk and explaining some of the science behind cooking. Hello, Susan.
Hello there.
So what have you mainly been talking about in today's lecture?
We've been trying to show people that science is all around us in everything we do, and that cooking, there's a huge amount of science in there as well. And of course, we've also been trying to give people some important messages about how the food we eat really can impact on our health.
And so how have you been getting the science of cooking across today?
Well, we've had a couple of little tricks of the trade. We've been using a water bath to cook the meat in, because in that way we can hold the meat at a very particular temperature. Because if you cook meat at a higher temperature, actually you begin to break down some of the muscle fibres and you really lose the texture. So a water bath allows us to control the temperature far, far better than you could in a conventional oven.
Now, during today's talk, you were mentioning about the glycemic index. So what is this, and why is it important for people to understand a bit about this when it comes to their diet.
The glycemic index is a measure of how rapidly the energy in food is absorbed into the bloodstream. Some of the research suggests that people who tend to choose foods with a lower glycemic index, meaning the energy is released very slowly, have a reduced risk of developing things like diabetes and heart disease.
Now, you also mentioned that if people don't necessarily have access to fresh vegetables all of the time, it's good to keep some frozen vegetables in the home just as a backup. So are these still just as good for you as fresh vegetables?
Frozen veg are a fantastic alternative to fresh. These days, they're picked and frozen so very, very quickly. It really preserves all the nutritional value. Some veg don't freeze as well as others, and so the texture is sometimes not quite as good. But some vegetables, like peas, like sweet corn, even to some extent green beans, freeze really well. So they actually make for a very cheap and convenient option.
And what would you say the emphasis of today's sizzling science is?
I really want people to see food as something which is incredibly interesting, important, and a really valuable bit of their lives. And I think if they value food, they start to think a little bit more about what they're consuming, and that can only be good for health.
I can't quite believe, can you believe, over 2 hours of cycling for a pizza. I think I might think again next time I'm going to call out for a takeaway pizza.
It's all right on a motorbike though, isn't it?
Oh, true, that's true. I don't think it works that way, does it, Chris? Anyway, that was Dr. Susan Jebb from the Medical Research Council talking to our Mirison Thillingham. And before that we heard from Martin King, a PhD student with the MRC, and Gail Goldberg from MRC's Human Nutrition Research Unit.